International loan finance, international loan transfers. The loan market is essentially based on bilateral relationships, bilateral sets of obligations. A borrower and a group of borrowers is going to enter into a series of debt relationships with a syndicate of banks. There will be more than one bank because the banks want to spread the credit risk. The credit risk is the risk of counterparty default, which is non-payment of interest during term and repayment of principal on maturity. The banks want to spread that risk. However, what we want to do is this: to create additional liquidity in the loan markets, we want to consider various forms of loan transfer, which will support marketability, which increases liquidity, which makes more funds available in the system to be lent on to borrowers. Clearly, we have no difficulties with this in the capital markets because securities, either in the form of equities or bonds, are inherently transferable and also generally negotiable, so that you can acquire good title, perfect title, so long as you obtain something without any prior defect in title. So we need to consider different types of loan transfer. Historically, loans could not be moved, could not be transferred over, but we developed various mechanisms, principally under equity and then the common law, and all of this was then consolidated under the Law of Property Act 1925. So we're going to look at various forms of transfer. The specific advantages of this are that it allows the institutions to release funds. If the bank can transfer its obligations on, this will release funds and commitments so it can enter into additional credit relationships. It also improves portfolio diversification and portfolio management. It can also assist all parties in the markets, as well as manage things from a legal and regulatory compliance perspective. If, for example, there's particular limits on lending or covenants or even capital adequacy conditions, if we monitor this, if it looks like we may breach something, then we can execute some form of transfer which can adjust all of this. We are specifically going to consider, in terms of transfer, a series of most commonly used forms of engagement. We're looking at legal and equitable assignment. We're looking at novation. We're looking at participation, sub-participation, and blind participation. We've got risk participation. And then we also have a series of other devices that we can use. They're not strictly legal transfers, but they secure equivalent economic effects. Those consist of securitization, trust, and sometimes agency or brokerage. The key device is assignment. Assignment is now consolidated under the Law of Property Act 1925. The key provision is section 136. To secure a legal assignment, the instrument must be in writing. The assignment must be in writing. There must be notice given to the debtor, and this must be for an unconditional amount. So we need writing, notice, and unconditional amount. Now, very often, positions are not unconditional. So a number of the conditions and the obligations that we imposed under the loan agreements, they of themselves can create difficulties. If, for example, there's penalties or interest charges or floating systems, if there's various elements imposed which mean that this amount is not conditional, it's not fixed and certain up front, then you cannot transfer it. And this can cause problems. So in that case, very often we will have to rely on equitable assignment rather than legal assignment. More commonly, what happens is that the banks, the lending institutions, will simply not want to give notice to the borrowers that they've transferred their obligations, mainly through reputation and customer loyalty. They want to know that the customer always feels they're dealing with one bank, a single institution, and that they've always had a common relationship with that institution, which could last for 10, 20, 30, 40 years. In those cases, the banks are still going to sell on commitments and obligations or transfer entitlements, but they want to preserve their relationship with the client, so therefore they will not want to give notice, so they will rely on equitable assignment rather than legal assignment. Legal assignment is then ineffective without notice, while an equitable assignment only protects priority from the date of notice, with the date of notice being the determining factor. The difficulty is that the first assignee may lose priority if another assignee gives notice to the debtor first. You can lose priorities that way. It can also give rise to separate rights of set off or other entitlement which may not otherwise have arisen if you had given the original notice first. In many cases, this is not a problem in practice if it's almost like a closed transaction. So for example, in the project finance area or the securitization area, and we're dealing with special purpose vehicles, we can very often be perfectly satisfied that we can rely on equitable rather than legal assignment because it's a closed deal. We know all of the parties concerned, so there's going to be no risk of loss of priority or loss of other types of protection. Now, the key issue that arises with regards to assignment is that we can only transfer benefits. We cannot transfer obligations, so therefore, if we want to also move the obligation, transfer the obligation, we have to consider novation. Novation is a form of substitution whereby we cancel the initial debt position, the initial set of legal relationships, and we replace them with a new set of provisions and new set of legal rights and entitlements. Again, we're going to need consent. Consent can be required with regards to assignment as well, but very often the documentation will provide that consent to be not unreasonably withheld, and we'll have specific contractual provision dealing with that. There are specific types of instrument which can operate either by way of assignment or novation. So for example, we have what we call transfer loan certificates, TLCs, and we have transferable loan instruments, TLIs. A TLC, a certificate, is a novation, and a transferable loan instrument, a TLI, is an assignment. We will see specifically if we consider, for example, the terms of the standard documentation produced by the, in the international loan area, it's the Loan Market Association, the LMA. Its standard documentation traditionally always provided for a novation. This was typically in Schedule 5. The obligations were transferred by novation. We now, in the later versions, more recent copies, have an assignment as well in Schedule 6. Why? Because normally you want to transfer benefits and obligations, therefore you need novation, whereas if you're only transferring benefits, you can use an assignment. All of the key supporting provisions are then provided for in the documentation. We can also have what we call a participation or a supported participation, a sub-participation. That's where we bring in another party behind one of the banks, which is a party to the principal documentation we've entered into. For example, any member of the syndicate in a large Eurodollar syndicate arrangement could bring in another party to actually provide the lending required. So for example, if we have 10 banks making available $100 million, $10 million each, any of those participants could bring in another sub-participant which will make the funds available. The risk that arises is that there is then a double credit risk. So the funds are being provided to the borrower, but the borrower is then dealing with both legally the first bank, but economically the second bank, because the second bank's providing the funds. So you've got a double area of risk which has to be managed, which has to be monitored. It's very common, for example, in practice where a lead bank or an arranging bank puts together a syndicate as part of its forming of a credit relationship. It will receive from the borrower a mandate, so the lead bank or arranging bank receives the mandate from the borrower to set up the syndicate. Very often, what will happen is the lead bank will then bring in another party behind it to provide the actual funds. It looks good, it generates support, it encourages other banks to participate, with the lead bank appearing to be a member and legally becoming a member first on up until the date of the initial signing. But what will then happen is this: the lead bank is looking for the arranging fee, the lead bank fee. It doesn't actually want to generate a return by actually lending the funds once the facility is up and running. So the lead bank will bring in another bank to actually make available the funds, and provide those over the, for example, 10, 20 year period of the facility. The lead bank really wants that arranging fee. It will then bring in a sub-participant bank behind it, and it will then leave and move on and set up another syndicate at the same time. We also have what we call a sub-participation, which can be distinct from a participated loan, which is where you lend one bank to a party, but then you actually bring in another bank behind you. We can call that a blind participation, and I refer to that in the paper as well. We also have what we call risk participations. This is where there's any contingent element involved. The actual amount due is not confirmed, it's not immediate, it's not determined. This may arise, for example, under a guarantee, a letter of credit, a performance bond, where there's some element of unconditional or contingent nature to the obligation that may or may not arise. We would call that a risk participation, when you bring in another party to provide the support in the event of the particular event being triggered. As we have already mentioned, there's other types of devices we can use which create parallel economic interests, effectively transfer economic burdens, obligations or entitlements. They're not strictly loan transfers, but they can have a similar economic effect in practice. Those include securitizations, trusts, and agency or brokerage relationships. The purpose, as we've mentioned already in all of these cases, is to try to create a form of surrogate secondary market in the loan market area, which then makes the loans more attractive. It means that more banks will participate and lend, which will increase the total amount of liquidity available in the market, so there's more funds to be lent around, at the same time as the transferability and ability to move those obligations, those commitments, also increases the total amount of liquidity in the system as well. So this can be very useful. As we've said already, it can also assist with portfolio management and portfolio selection, as well as allow the banks to adjust their positions, both in terms of their capital and other commitment situations, depending upon their other credit relationships and legal and regulatory obligations at any point in time. These are very useful devices which have to be considered as a key important part of the larger lending market, to the extent that we have this supporting secondary market which can transfer on rights and obligations as necessary to provide total maximum benefit for all of the parties concerned. Okay, last thing are repos, repurchase. So let's do this as well now.